Let's go back to your first grade. Where was that?
First grade was in Lincoln Valley. It was a two-room country school about 3 miles, I guess, northeast of the town of Walters. When I went there, we lived on a rented farm, big two-story house. It was about three-quarters of a mile walk from where we lived to Lincoln Valley School north. I was in the first grade there. There was a woman then. Her name was Nellie Patton. She taught grades 1 through 4. Each grade had a row, its own row. I can't imagine how she managed all the classes at once, but she did. In the other room of the school, her husband, Rodney Patton, did 5, 6, 7, and 8 grades. I finished the first grade there. The fondest memory I have of it is Nellie Patton and Miss Patton. If you finished your work, you could go to the back of the room and get a book. So I did that. That year, I won the prize at the end of the year, which was a quarter, 25 cents, as the person who had read the most books that year in school. I assume in the whole 8th grade, but maybe it was just in our 4 grades. I'm reminded of that. When I was in the United States Senate, I visited a first grade class, and she was the teacher of this first grade in Walters. By then, her name was Nellie Freels. Her husband had been long ago killed in a motorcycle accident. She introduced me to the class. She said, "There was a little boy in my class who just loved to read." She told him that was me. I have wonderful memories of that first grade and of learning to read.
So you just had a natural interest in reading. Did your parents encourage reading or put books in your hand?
It came to me naturally. I can remember when I could not read, which is really funny. The year before I went to the first grade and before I could read, I can see very clearly one time we were over at my grandparents' house, grandparent Harris, and my Uncle Bill, my dad's brother, who was like a brother to me, he's closest to my age of all those brothers, he was trying to fool our cousin Margie, trying to make her think I could read a comic strip page in the newspaper. He'd tell me what it said, and then he'd say to Margie, "Look, Freddie can read," and he'd have me repeat. Well, she wasn't fooled, but I don't know, maybe that got me interested in reading. I really wanted to read, and I never stopped once I started.
What type of vehicle was your dad driving back then?
I can remember when he first started trading, he traded not only cattle, but hogs too. He had an old, I think it must have been a Chevrolet coupe, but it was just a coupe, whatever it was. He had taken out what had been a rumble seat in the back and built sideboards, like a small pickup it was. And he could haul maybe a couple of calves or 3 or 4 hogs in that. And that was his vehicle. But after that, by the time I was in first grade and after, the only vehicle he ever had was a truck. He never bought a car until he bought a brand new car, a 1948 black four-door Plymouth. I thought it was a wonderful car. I didn't think about it at the time, but I've later come to believe that he bought it for me to have a car my senior year in high school.
To add to your hay baling, weren't you known as the hay baling Harrises?
Yeah, all around Cotton County, we were known as the hay baling Harrises. We were a crew. My granddad started the crew. My dad was not a part of it. He had his own cattle trading operation he was involved in, but all the other brothers were at one time or another. Then the next oldest brother of his, Dick, got his own hay baler. And then one by one, these boys, for example, the next oldest was Ralph. Ralph took over the hay baling crew. And after him, when the war came and some of them began to go off to the war, my Uncle Bill, who was, as I said, closest to me in age, he ran the crew for the last year before he himself went off to the Navy.
We say the Dust Bowl was 1930 to 36, and you would have been 5 and 6. Do you have any recollection of either people moving to California or of the dust itself?
No, I don't. I have a memory of people going to California looking for jobs, uncles that went out to Long Beach or somewhere to work in oil fields. Let's see, at least 2 of my uncles at one time or another worked as roughnecks in the oil field. Around Walters, there were at various times oil developments, starting down at Randallette and over in Burke Burnett and so forth, and generally shallow wells in those days. I didn't, but so many people, even people my age, sort of grew up knowing how to be roustabouts or roughnecks. I know about my uncles going off to California, a couple of them, Dick and Ralph, at different times to work in oil fields. Also, my Uncle Jack went in the CCCs. I remember that very well, Civilian Conservation Corps. He had a uniform. It was almost like a military uniform. And he came out here to New Mexico. Among other things, what he did was planted trees. There must be a lot of reforestation projects around here that people like him planted. We've still got them, and we've still got a lot of bridges and buildings and so forth that those CCCs built. Most of his money, as I've since read, was held out and sent home. We called my Harris grandparents, Paul Harris and Ma Harris. And I remember Ma regularly got this check that was most of Jack's pay while he was off in the CCCs. I don't remember ever seeing the dust. I mean, the wind always blows in Oklahoma. It always blows. And in western Oklahoma, I think in the early days, women way out there on the plains used to go crazy with the incessant wind. So there was always dust storms and so forth, but I don't remember the kind that you see, you know, in documentaries about the Dust Bowl.
Then your folks moved into Walters, kind of gave up on farming because of Dust Bowl and that type of thing.
Yeah, I just couldn't make a living at it. The two or three things about those days that's unusual. It's not unusual for people my age, but we worked horses. I grew up not only having riding horses, but I worked horses as a kid. And I remember their names yet, horses that I worked.
What were some of the names?
Well, Barney. Barney was a big old bay horse. And then there was Sam. Sam was a sorrel with a white forehead. And he had only one eye. He'd been injured in a barbed wire fence, and he'd go crazy if you tried to make him go over a held-down barbed wire fence. And there was a Jenny that was a sorrel who had a big hump on her side where it was almost like a stirrup that fit right for me. And she was faster than a racehorse. She was a very interesting horse. The other thing I was going to say about those early days, when I was in the first grade and we lived out there by Lincoln Valley on the farm, my dad was trying to farm, I saw what must have been one of the last steam engines pulling a thresher. My dad had a small field, probably 25 acres of oats, and the threshing crew came. They had to lay big old bridge timbers across the ditch so the steam engine tractor could pull the thresher into the oat field. Surely that must have been about the last of the steam engines.
If you were such a reader and many of the houses you lived in didn't have electricity, it must have had some form of lamp.
Yeah, we called it coal oil. It's kerosene. I had always had a lot of chores to do. One of my jobs was to carry the coal oil in and fill the lamps. And in a couple of places where we lived in those days, the cooking stove was a kerosene or coal oil stove, too. My older sister's job was to fill the lamps with the coal oil and clean the globes. The globes got black and sooty. So in those early days, before we had electricity in any house we lived in, she and I studied by lamplight at the dining room table. That's where we did our lessons and so forth.
So Abraham Lincoln probably didn't have a whole lot on you.
Right.
Were you a good student? Did you like school from the beginning?
I loved school. I did. It's sort of the luck of the draw. And particularly later on when I did so well in law school, it never seemed quite fair that somehow I just wound up with the right skills and so forth that could do well in law school. The same was true with studies generally. I never had to really work that hard at making good grades. They were just natural. You know, the way things were, about half ashamed of it. Girls were the ones who made good grades. And what I wanted to be was a football star or basketball star, and it just happened that I made these good grades. I had a wonderful teacher of world history named Mrs. Lee Mershon. One time she was handing out tests after grading them. I think I'd made something like 92 or low A on the paper. And she said to me, "Young man, you ought to apply yourself more. You could do a lot better." I was really very resentful, and I said to her, "Well, I made a 92 or something." And she said, "Well, you could do better than that." She also said to me at that very time, "You've got too many irons in the fire." I did have. And that time, not only was I working as a printer, but I had bought my own little printing press and 10 cases of handset type. So I was competing with my boss. I was printing names on Christmas cards and tickets and invitations and things in my own bedroom. And also I was farming a little. I had a little wheat and a few head of cattle. So she's right. Saying, you know, you ought to concentrate. You ought to focus. And that's not her word, but that's what she meant.